Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Daily Pursuit, Devotions for Every Day, by A.W. Tozer. Compiled and edited by James L. Snyder. Narrated by Tyler Boss. Introduction. The great passion of A.W. Tozer, or maybe I should say obsession, was pursuing God on a daily basis. Nothing, neither family nor friends, was more important than his daily pursuit to be with God. The worship of God was the highest calling of Tozer's life. During his ministry, Tozer was the keynote speaker at many Bible conferences. At one particular conference, the time came for the service to begin, and Tozer had not arrived yet. Thinking he was just running a little late, the leader began the service, believing Tozer would soon arrive. As the service progressed without any sign of Tozer, the leader became nervous. Finally, the time came for Tozer to begin his sermon, but he was nowhere to be found. At the last moment, someone else filled in, much to the disappointment of the audience. The next morning, the leader found Tozer and asked him, very simply, where he was last night. "Why did you miss your appointment last night?" Tozer, with a faraway look in his eyes, simply said, "I had a more important appointment last night." Later, that leader discovered Tozer had spent all night on his knees before God. The most important thing in his life was being in the presence of God. Living in Chicago for most of his ministry, Tozer had a rather busy schedule with many people wanting his advice or prayer. People like Billy Graham and Senator Mark Hatfield, to name a few. Tozer had a unique way of eluding this disturbance when he needed to be alone with God. When he felt he was becoming a little stale, it was time to leave the world behind and be alone with God. Early in the morning, he would board a westbound train, get in a Pullman car for privacy, and ride for the next 4 hours. Sequestered in his Pullman car, he spent the time on his face before God. No cell phones at the time, thankfully, and Tozer had absolute privacy to spend 4 hours alone with God without interruption. Once he arrived at his destination, he simply boarded an eastbound train returning to Chicago for another 4 hours alone with God. With an outspread Bible on his knees, he quieted his heart before God and waited upon God to speak to him and refresh his spirit. On a similar trip to Texas, Tozer wrote the first draft of the devotional classic, The Pursuit of God, which might explain the impact this book has had on Christianity at large. Pursuing God was not a matter of convenience for Tozer, but rather a matter of passion. Tozer could not start his day without spending quality time alone in the presence of God. Often during these times, he would take a hymnal and begin his time alone with God by quietly singing a hymn. He simply marinated his soul in those great hymns of the church that he loved so much. Hymns were important in helping him express to God that which was deep in his own heart and soul. It would be a very unusual day for him not to meditate on some great hymn of the church. Because of his passionate desire for God, Tozer was willing to commit to whatever it took to pursue God daily. This book, My Daily Pursuit, is a microcosm of Tozer's daily pursuit. Here you will find the components of his daily pursuit of God. These devotions are taken from the audio sermons of Dr. Tozer and are not quotations from his published works. These represent what I like to refer to as conversational Tozer. His preaching style was very conversational, as if he were talking to one person and bearing the passion of his heart to that individual. The one goal of this devotional is to stir up in the hearts of serious-minded Christians such a passion for God. My prayer is that Tozer will inspire you in your daily pursuit. James L. Snyder. My Daily Pursuit. January 1st. For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. For the Christian, everything begins and ends with worship. Whatever interferes with one's personal worship of God needs to be properly dealt with and dismissed. Keep in mind that above all else, worship is an attitude, a state of mind, and a sustained act. It is not a physical attitude, but an inward act of the heart toward God. The mighty bestowment of God Almighty upon us who trust in Him is that we might be worshipers. Unfortunately, we have become everything else but worshipers. Sin robs God of this pristine pleasure of worship from those created in His image. Through the miracle of the new birth, our alienation with God has been done away with. And through His atonement, we have become friends of God and have been brought back again into the sphere of worship. Each day is a special call for all of us to worship God. Awake, my soul, to joyful lays, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. Samuel Medley, 1738 to 1799. My Heavenly Father, I begin today in joyful worship. Thou hast called me, and I answer thee in praise and adoration. In Jesus' name, amen. January 2nd. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of right praise all the day long. Psalm 35, verse 28. Worship embodies a number of spiritual and emotional factors. Worship is to feel in the heart. I do not apologize for using the word feel. As Christians, we are not to be people without feelings. I certainly don't think we should follow our feelings alone, but I believe that if there is no feeling in our hearts, then we are dead. Certainly, there is danger in relying only upon feelings. If you woke up one morning with no feeling in your arm at all, you would call a doctor, because anything without feeling you can be quite sure is dead. Real worship is, among other things, a feeling in the heart that is appropriately expressed. You can worship God in any manner appropriate to you by feeling in the heart and expressing that humbling but delightful sense of admiring love. Let your heart dictate your worship to the God you love and who loves you. Soon, the delightful day will come when my dear Lord will bring me home and I shall see His face. Samuel Medley, 1738 to 1799. O come, dear Lord, and fill my heart with blessed desire for Thee. I lift my heart anticipating the shining of Thy blessed face. Amen. January 3rd. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Worship is humbling, but it is also delightful, invoking a sense of admiring awe and astonished wonder. Astonishment and wonder are always found in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The difficulty with this today is that everybody is sure of everything. The proud man cannot worship God any more than the proud devil can worship God. Without mystery, there can be no worship. If I can understand God, then I cannot worship God. I will never get on my knees and say, Holy, 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 to that which I can figure out. But the more I know of God, the less I understand about Him. It is in the presence of the Holy Spirit that I begin to recognize what a sinful man I really am. The Apostle Paul said, Woe is me. Isaiah the prophet cried, Woe is me, when he came into the presence of God. They were experiencing the mysterious wonder of that one who is incomprehensible. 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Who can explore His strange design? Charles Wesley, 1707 to 1788. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to thee, adoring the mystery of that which is thyself. The more I know thee, the more I want to know thee in all the beauty of thy holiness. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. January 4th. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. Psalm 119, verses 161 to 162. As I have tried to figure out what revivals have been down through the years, I have come to this conclusion. Revivals have been a sudden bestowment of the spirit of worship, where people worship God and suddenly the spirit of worship comes on them. It's not something that is worked up, but rather something God bestows, and where His presence is, you will have a revival immediately. Worship always is a result of the presence of God. What I can explain will never overawe me, will never fill me with astonishment, wonder, or admiration. The presence of that most ancient mystery, that unspeakable majesty, which the philosophers have called a mysterium tremendum, but we who are God's children call our Father which art in heaven. This ought to be present in the church today. Without this, there can be no genuine worship. Only worship that flows from the awesome manifest presence of God is acceptable to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. Charles Wesley, 1707 to 1788. I long, O Majesty on high, for thy blessed presence to overwhelm me to the point of silent worship and awe. Thy precious word leaves me speechless. In Jesus' name, amen. January 5th. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119, verse 16. Many years ago in France lived Blaise Pascal, one of the great mathematicians of his time. As a teenager, he wrote advanced books on mathematics that would astonish the most learned mathematicians. He was also a great philosopher and thinker. On November 23, 1654, between the night hours of 10:30 and 12:30, he met God, and he wrote his experience on a piece of paper. He carefully sewed this document into his coat and always transferred it when he changed clothes. He wore that paper until he died to remind him in some way of that experience. On that night, when Pascal had an intense religious vision and immediately recorded the experience in a brief note to himself, he wrote, "Fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and the scholars," and concluded the note by quoting Psalm 119, verse 16, "I will not forget thy word. Amen." This was the ecstatic utterance of a man who had two wonderful, awesome hours in the presence of his God. God looked past Pascal's greatness and accomplishments and inserted himself into his life so that for two solid hours, Pascal could only characterize what was going on in him as fire. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. William Williams, 1717 to 1791. O God, set my heart on fire from above. Inflame me with an unquenchable fire to guide me all through my journey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. January 6th. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Psalm 57, verse 5. Perhaps one reason we do not have much confidence in the character of God today is that we do not have a high enough opinion of God. God has been talked down and reduced, modified, edited, changed, and amended until he is not the God that Isaiah saw, high and lifted up. Because God has been reduced in the minds of people, they do not have the boundless confidence in his character that used to be prominent among Christians. Confidence is necessary to respect. You cannot respect a man in whom you have no confidence. Extend that respect upward to God, and if you cannot respect God, you cannot worship him. You cannot have confidence in him, because where there is no respect, there can be no worship. Worship rises and falls in the church depending upon whether the idea of God is low or high. So we must begin with God, where everything begins. God needs no rescuing, but we do. And we must rescue our concepts from their fallen and frightfully inadequate condition so that boundless confidence in him can reign once again. Praise the Lord, ye heavens. Adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Edward Osler, 1798 to 1863. Dear Heavenly Father, the more I meditate upon thee, the more my soul rises in worship. Let me soar into thy heavens and rejoice in thee. Amen. January 7th. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13. To worthily worship God as he desires to be worshiped, I must have absolute confidence in him. I cannot sit down with any person and enjoy fellowship if I have reason to fear he is out to get me, or trick me, or deceive me, or cheat me. My fellowship with him must be based upon respect and confidence. I have to trust him before I can have fellowship with him. And so when I go to God, I have to raise my affections and confidence to God. In the presence of God, I must come without doubt and nervousness, without worry and fear that God will cheat me, deceive me, or let me break down or do something wrong. I need to be so convinced about God to the point that I can go into the presence of God in absolute confidence and say, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. Charles Wesley, 1707 to 1788. Dear Father, the very thought of thee causes my heart to leap in joyful song and praise. My heart sings of thee in the night watch. Amen. January 8th. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jude 1, verse 25. It is entirely possible to have respect for a person and not admire him. So, it would be remotely possible to have some kind of theological respect for God and yet not admire what you saw and not admire him. The thing I have reflected on often is that when God made man in his own image, he gave him a capacity to appreciate and admire his creator. I often think of it in this way. There are at least two kinds of love, the love of gratitude and the love of excellence. Now, we could love God because we are grateful to him, or we could go past that and love God because of what he is. Perhaps love begins with gratitude, but there is a level of love above that called excellence. The first love can love God out of a deep sense of gratitude for what God has done. But above that is the love of excellence. As I begin to focus on God in fellowship and His presence, I begin to share in that quality of His love that simply loves Him for His excellence. He is all that I really need. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Fanny Crosby, 1820 to 1915. Dear God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the excellence of my nature revealed to me in Jesus Christ has lifted my soul to the heights of heaven in praise and worship. May thy name be glorified in my life today. Amen. January 9th. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 14. It is a rare Christian who truly knows how to appreciate God, especially in his prayer life. Yet the book of Psalms and the Gospels are full of this. Christ did it often in the presence of his disciples, and the apostles modeled it throughout their ministry. Nothing moves the heart more joyously than singing of the excellency of the God we serve. I wonder if we don't hear this often today because we are strictly Santa Claus Christians. We look to God to put up the Christmas tree and put our gifts under it. We are grateful to God for all the gifts He has given us, and we should be grateful. It is right and proper that we should be. But this is the lower, elementary kind of love. As a Christian, you need to push beyond this and come into the presence of God, enjoying the infinite excellence of God and admiring Him for who He truly is. This is the love of God's excellence, where you want to stay in the presence of God because you are in the presence of utter, infinite excellence. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Isaac Watts, 1674 to 1748. In thy precious name, O God, I come to thee. My love for thee draws me deep into thy heart. Let me simply revel in thy presence. It is all I want to do. Amen. January 10th. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Psalm 90, verse 14. One delightful aspect of reading the Bible is finding people who are utterly fascinated with God. Reading through the book of Psalms stirs the heart as we experience one man's fascination with God. Wherever God is known by the Spirit's illumination, there exists a fascination and a high degree of moral excitement. That fascination is captured and enhanced by the presence and person of God. It is struck with astonished wonder at the inconceivable elevation and magnitude and splendor of God. I want to begin with God and end with God. I want to know that I will have an end with God because there is no end in God. This fascination, this sense of worship, is where hymns come from. Hymns come out of this sense of admiration and fascination with God. I want to be charmed and struck with wonder at the inconceivable elevation and magnitude and moral splendor of that one I call our Father, which art in heaven. Finish, then, thy new creation. Pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Charles Wesley, 1707 to 1788. Thy love, O God, fills me with rapturous delight at the very thought of it. Meditating upon thy love creates in me the dissatisfaction for this world. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. January 11th. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. Adoration is an important aspect of my personal worship of God. This cannot be worked out by any human effort, but rather made incandescent by the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life. My worship of God must be the sense of awful wonder and adoration, to love, yearn, and wait on God. David Brainerd died at the home of Jonathan Edwards when he was 29 years old. During the few years of his life, he had such a passion for God that nothing else could satiate his heart. He would kneel in the snow and be so lost in worship, prayer, and intercession that when he was through, the snow would melt around him in a wide circle. We need passion like that today. Oh, for men and women who have such a longing for God that everything else in their life would be pushed away. I want my worship of God to be just as real. I am not one for imitating the accoutrements associated with worship. I am one for striving to achieve the passion of worship that men like this exhibited in their lives. I want to love God more than any person in my generation. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. German Jesuits, 1677. Translation, Joseph A. Seiss, 1823 to 1904. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to thee, for thou hast bidden me to come. With trembling heart I raise my voice in praise and adoration of thee. In thy precious name I pray. Amen. January 12th. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. John Fletcher, a contemporary of John Wesley, was called the terrific Fletcher because of his enthusiastic passion for God. It was a passion that could not be manufactured, but rather was something that came from the very heart of God himself. Fletcher used to kneel in his little bare room on the floor. When he had lived out his life and gone to be with God, they found that he had made a concave place in the floor where his knees actually wore out the boards. They also found the wall in his room stained with his breath, where he had waited on God and worshiped God in the beauty of his holiness. This is what adoration is all about. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might. It can only mean one thing, and that is to adore God with everything within you. I rarely use the word adore. I never say about any person, I adore him or I adore her. Adoration I keep for the only one who deserves it. In no other presence and before no other being can I kneel in fear, wonder, yearning, and awe and feel the same sense of possessiveness that cries, mine, mine. Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim, all in heaven above adore thee. infinite.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?